What does it mean to be a feminist in 2014? Do you consider yourself a feminist? And, well, what do you think that means? My guest this hour says it's okay to enjoy things like the Sweet Valley High books and 50 Shades of Grey while still criticizing cultural beauty standards and gender norms. Today we'll meet Roxane Gay, the author of many works of fiction and nonfiction, who teaches writing at Purdue University. She's the author of a recent set of essays that is being published under the title Bad Feminist. And she gets extra points for doing this interview on the day when she is moving. Roxane Gay, welcome to the Joy Cardine program.
Hi, thank you.
I really appreciate you taking time today. I know it's got to be pretty chaotic. Anytime you're moving, that's always an extra stressful time. So, in your book, one of your essays, you write, "I fall short as a feminist. I feel like I'm not as committed as I need to be, that I'm not living up to feminist ideals because of who and how I choose to be." When you call yourself a bad feminist, how do you judge that? What is it about, why do you say you're a bad feminist?
It really started tongue-in-cheek. I thought it was just funny to call myself a bad feminist, but the more I thought about it and the more I looked at some of what mainstream feminism I thought was about, the more I realized, well, I am a feminist, but I'm not really that good at it. And so, I do believe that women's choices matter, even when I disagree with them. And I know that sometimes there are certain aspects of feminism that would find that contradictory. And still, I don't want to, disavow feminism. All too often, we see really intelligent women saying, oh, I'm not a feminist because I love men, as if the two things can't exist. And so I just wanted to write against that and to be against that.
Well, there's now a Tumblr page called Women Against Feminism, and women saying I don't need feminism and things like that. What I'm wondering is there a really clear definition that everybody can agree on what feminism is exactly these days?
I'm not sure. I do think that there are multiple feminisms, but I do also know that one thing we have in common, no matter where we stand on feminism, is that we believe in the equality of women, and we believe that women deserve to move through the world as freely and as comfortably as men. And so I definitely think no matter where you stand, that is one thing we have to have in common as feminists. And we also need to start to think about race and gender and sexuality and class. So it can't just be about middle class and upper middle class white women. We have to think about the needs and concerns of all women and the multiple identities that they inhabit.
Just reading your essays and just reading news articles in preparation for the program, it seems to me like there are almost as many different concepts of what feminism is supposed to be as there are people. Everybody has their own take. There are a lot of things which appear to be, maybe we could call them myths. For example, if you're a feminist, you have to hate men, that kind of thing. And so there's just a lot of uncertainty out there. So when you talk about, a bad feminist or a good feminist, is it possible to even define what a good feminist is?
No, I don't think so. I think that it could mean a lot of different things, but definitely the good feminism that I'm talking about is also sort of tongue-in-cheek, this idea that you have to have perfect principles and you have to be entirely consistent in your thinking to be a feminist. Like, you have to believe that a woman shouldn't take her husband's name, or you have to be separatist. These things are all myths. But when I first started thinking about feminism when I was a much younger woman, I had no idea what feminism actually was, because whenever someone said, oh, you're a feminist, they were not paying me a compliment. And so I definitely wanted to distance myself from whatever they were perceiving. And so good feminism doesn't actually exist, but I'm definitely referring to the rigid feminism that isn't as inclusive as it needs to be.
And how would you say that being identifying as a feminist is different in 2014 as perhaps it has been in past years?
Well, in 2014, it's so much easier. And that's because of all of the work that the first and second and even third wave of feminism did. I find it pretty easy to claim. I have no shame in it. And, you know, not everyone is thrilled by that, but I'm not here to thrill everyone. I think it's so much easier. And I think that we have slowly but surely achieved a better understanding of feminism and what feminism is actually about.
How so?
I think that increasingly we're recognizing the importance of, for example, reproductive freedom. I think with a lot of the strange things that have happened in the past couple of years with regards to now having a national conversation about birth control, which is strange, I think a lot of people are finally realizing, oh, okay, this is why we need feminism. I think when we look at the continued persistence of the pay gap, we also realize, okay, this is why feminism matters, and we have to continue to fight these fights.
You have found yourself labeled in non-complimentary ways. Why is that, and why is the word feminist still considered such a pejorative in some circles?
I think because when people hear feminist, they automatically think that because you believe in the equality of women, that somehow you want to take something away from men. That you can't, you know, that's how it works. Like it's a scale, and the universe can only, you know, allow for so much equality. And that's just not the case. It's not about men at all. It's really just about elevating women, and men are great. I mean, you know, the world can't function without both genders, or actually there's more than two genders, but I think people just really misunderstand what it's about, and they really think that it's exclusionary instead of what it actually is, which is inclusionary.
As if there was a finite amount of equality in the universe.
Yes, exactly. Like, oh, we've used up all the equality, and so we should just be happy with whatever's left.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
800-642-1234 is the number to call to join the program if you've got a question for Roxane Gay, the author of Bad Feminist, a collection of essays we're using as a kind of a jumping-off point for our discussion this morning. 800-642-1234. Do you consider yourself a feminist? Do you embrace feminism? But do you feel you can't really live up to what you perceive as the standards of feminism? So what kind of feminist, if any, are you? Maybe you're not one, and why not? All good questions to discuss here. 800-642-1234. Talk@WPR.org is the email address, and you can also find The Joy Cardine Show on Facebook and leave a comment or a question there. Roxane Gay, we hear a lot of women like Yahoo CEO Marissa Meyer say they aren't feminists, don't need feminism, or even that feminism is bad for society. And I mentioned the Tumblr page, Women Against Feminism, where women list reasons like, I like it when men look at me, and it's an excuse for not being on top of my game. What do you say to that?
I think that the women who say that can say that because of feminism. And I think it's kind of ironic that they are standing on the shoulders of giants in order to make those declarations. But they're entirely entitled to that opinion. And Marissa Meyer, I think, she may not claim the term feminist, but she's extremely feminine in what she does and how she moves through the world. I mean, she's amazing. Look what she's achieved. And if she thinks feminism hasn't played a part in that, I don't even know what to say to that. But, I think that women, again, I support their choice even if I disagree with it. And I really think oftentimes it's about ignorance. They just don't even know what they're saying when they say things like that. And they have a really poor understanding of feminism when they say things like that.
What does it say about us as a society that it's still a news story when someone like Marissa Meyer becomes the CEO of Yahoo, and yet if some man becomes the CEO of a large company, it might make a two-line story in the business page of the newspaper, but we don't really notice?
I think it says a lot. I think it shows just how far we have to go, that it's still news when a woman becomes a CEO. It's still news when a woman goes into space. We still are fighting just to achieve a lot of these things that have really not been available to us for so long. And it's exciting that these things happen, but I would love to get to a point where a woman becoming a CEO becomes, as you so well put, a two-line news item. Nobody really cares.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, maybe not care, but we don't notice. It doesn't
correct.
Make a...
We don't notice. It's not, like, let's not, we don't have to celebrate, but... Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, we celebrate, but just because it's a great person, not because it's a woman.
Yeah.
I would love for it to just be, oh, look at this great person who has become a CEO, and she happens to be a woman.
Yeah, it's not the lead on Marketplace.
No.
And feminism, how does feminism change depending on circumstance? For example, might be one thing if you're a wealthy, highly educated white woman, maybe different for someone who is non-white or poor. How does this shift with your circumstance, do you think?
I think that feminism becomes even more crucial the less privilege that you hold in society, because you have so much more that you're trying to fight for. And so we can look at working class women, for example. Their concerns are going to include all kinds of things that wealthy women never have to think about. How do I afford childcare? How do I afford health insurance? How do I pay for my birth control? How do I pay for my maternity care? These are issues that we have to think about. Like, how do we support these women when all too often we assume that these support systems are already in place for everyone, and they're not. And in terms of race, we have to think about sort of how does being black or being Asian or being Latina affect this woman, and what do we need to do to help her move through the world more effectively?
Mm-hmm. 800-642-1234 is the number to call to join the program. If you get a busy signal, send us an email, talk@WPR.org. Or post your comment or question to Facebook. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have some phone calls. My guest is Roxane Gay, author of many works of fiction and nonfiction, who teaches writing at Purdue University. And her most recent publication is a collection of essays titled Bad Feminist. We're talking about that this hour on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Feminism, that's our topic this hour. Do you consider yourself a feminist, and what does that mean in 2014? No, I wasn't attempting to make poetry there. It just happened. My guest is Roxane Gay, the author of many works of fiction and nonfiction. She teaches writing at Purdue University and is the author of a collection of essays titled Bad Feminist. We have a lot of phone calls. Let's start taking them, and we'll start in Madison, where Melissa is with us. Melissa, go ahead.
Hi, and thank you for taking my call. I have just a comment and kind of a different take on feminism. I'm definitely very, you know, very, very much in support of equality for women. There's no doubt there in my mind. However, and I'm in a field of work that is basically mostly men, and I remember when I got my job, my sister had said, oh, good for you. I mean, you're really in their face and pushing for feminism and making a point. And I thought, I'm not trying to make a point. I'm just trying to kind of live my life. And I think there are different personalities with feminism. I think some people come across like in your face, trying to prove a point. They've got a chip on their shoulder. It's almost like as if they did get equality, wherever they are, they still aren't going to be happy. And it gives feminism a really bad name. I think men and women kind of cringe when they come across that type of personality.
Okay. Melissa, thank you. Roxane Gay?
Yes. I think, you know, a lot of people think that, like, that they're in your face, but I think lots of people are in your face and they're not feminist. And so I don't think it's a uniquely feminist thing. And that they give feminism a bad name, I think they just give themselves a bad name if they're behaving in ways that you find problematic. I think all too often we blame feminism for the actions of individual feminists, and that's not fair. And mm-hmm. I think feminism is one of the movements that really has to carry that burden of being held responsible for a whole range of things. Feminism is an idea, and then what feminists do, that's something different.
Yeah, and there's there. Yeah, I mean, over time we've formed a number of stereotypes of what feminists are and what they're supposed to look like, and how they present themselves. And that kind of itself then becomes sort of a standard that some people feel that they have to try to live up to, and that can be kind of self-defeating too, can't it?
Absolutely, and I think that's. Especially when I was younger, I actively disavowed feminism, and I'm deeply shamed by that now. But it was very much because of that very reason. I was afraid to sort of be labeled that. I didn't want to be seen that way because I'm not that way. And then I grew up, and I recognized that feminism is far more than what certain people have done in the name of feminism. And I actually think that caller, I think it's really interesting what she said, because there are women in a lot of male-dominated areas, like engineering, for example, and the sciences. And whether they like it or not, they are trailblazers, and they are doing something amazing because, yes, they're just doing their job, and I think that's what makes what she's doing even more awesome. It's like with making more women CEOs. We want more women to do that so we don't have to look at her and say, you're a trailblazer.
Mm-hmm. We have a comment from Nikki on Facebook who says, women need to realize that femininity and being strong and empowered are not opposites. They go hand in hand. We have to stop viewing strength as something not feminine because I think strength is extraordinarily feminine. That's from Nikki on Facebook.
Oh, that's something I wrote. Yeah. I can't even remember where I wrote that, but yes.
Well, Nikki's obviously read it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Good for Nikki.
Yay! I do think strength is feminine. And I always think it's strange that people think that being a feminist means that you're sort of like giving up your femininity. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And one of the things I talk about in the essay Bad Feminist itself is, you know, there are definitely things that I think are man work. Like cars, that's man business, and I want no part of it. And, you know, it's not about sort of asking you to become something that you're not. It's really about equality.
Mm-hmm. Let's take another call. Janice is in La Crosse. Janice, thanks for joining us today. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you, John, and your guests. Appreciate taking the call. I guess I don't consider myself a feminist. I would like to consider myself feminine, like this previous caller had said. I'm a person. I feel like, you know, God made us male and female. That's the way he made us. Equal in dignity, but different in characteristics. And I totally uphold that. I just think that it's just beautiful. I'm happy to be a woman. I'm not a man. I don't want to be a man like your guest. I don't want to be doing some of these things that they like to do. I like to do certain things. You know, I think it's great. You know, we can childbear, and men really can't, even though they'd like to, even if they might want to, they can't. So, you know, I'm Catholic, I'm pro-life, you know, I'm really into the dignity of humanity, you know, of men and women, obviously. So, I'm happy to be who I am, and I think it's all about respect, you know. I mean, I'm happy women, if they want to have jobs and do these things, that's great, they should be respected. And I'm all for that. But I also am very happy to be a woman. And I feel like that's the way God made me, and I'm very happy to be that way. You know, okay. Different in characteristics, but equal in dignity. Thank you.
Janice, thanks so much for your call. Roxane Gay?
Yeah, I think that we all are who we are, and that's great. It's just, again, I think it speaks to how people misunderstand feminism, that she thinks that everything she said is something that it doesn't fall in line with feminism, except for, of course, being pro-life. But there are pro-life feminists, and I disagree. But again, I accept their, I respect their, where they stand, and mm-hmm. My parents are Catholic, and technically I'm Catholic, though I'm very lapsed. And I understand that faith plays an important part in the kinds of decisions that we make about the sanctity of life. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. And we can there's a lot of we all have assumptions about what people are like or what they ought to think. I'm a guy, but I really don't like working on cars. I'd rather read a book. But so maybe I should write an essay titled "Bad Guy." But there are times when we all feel a certain amount of pressure to conform to what society says. Well, this type of person needs to behave this way. And this type of person needs to behave that way, and that's what we expect to see. And if you don't give us what we expect to see, then that upsets something. Maybe the universe is tossed aside or something if we don't act the way we're supposed to. And that seems to apply both to both men and women equally.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the interesting things that gets lost in the conversation about feminism. These rigid gender roles that have been established don't help men or women. That there's a lot of our culture that tells men, you know, boys don't cry and you have to be macho and you have to love sports. And you can still be a man and not really feel connected to these hallmarks of traditional masculinity. And so feminism, I think the more that people embrace feminism, the more we're going to embrace more flexible gender expression for people of all genders.
Mm-hmm. Here's an email from Michelle who writes, "The definition I've lived with is pretty simple. I'm a human being. The fact that I'm a female human being should not be used to deprive me of any rights or relieve me of any responsibilities that male human beings in our society have. That's worked pretty well for me over the years."
That seems like a great definition. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Joan in Williams Bay, you'll be next. Joan, yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Okay. Oh, hello. Thanks for taking my call. I rethought feminism when I was talking to my granddaughter recently, and she told me she had a meeting with her manager, so she can't come up to see me. And I said, oh, that's nice that the manager is meeting with his assistants. And she said, what do you mean assistants? And I realized that she's got a position there on an equal basis. And they work on a team, which is my second question. What do you think from a feminist point of view of the team and level kind of arrangement they have in promoting and getting people up in better, you know, in higher positions? And number three, I think this feminism is forcing a redefinition of masculinity. And I'd like her opinion on that.
Okay, a lot to chew on there. Joan, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Definitely. I think that feminism is going to make it easier for women to be promoted because they deserve to be promoted instead of being looked over. And I think companies that work in a team approach work really well when they flatten certain hierarchies because it allows everyone to contribute in ways that will be valuable. And so I love seeing atmospheres where that actually works. I think that a lot of things are better in theory than practice. And, you know, I haven't been in the corporate world in a long time, but I think sometimes team dynamics can go awry if there's a certain type of personality on the team. But on the whole, I think it's a great way of thinking about an organization. I think what we want to see also, though, is just more women being promoted on their merits because those merits are there. And Sheryl Sandberg, her book Lean In, which has some issues, but on the whole I thought was a really good book, speaks a lot to this, the kinds of things that we need to do as women to put ourselves in the position to be able to take advantage of the same career advancements that men are able to take advantage of. In terms of redefining masculinity, absolutely. I think feminism is helping us to redefine masculinity and to see men as just as complex as women. And they have emotional and interior lives. And we can acknowledge and respect those emotional and interior lives just as much as we respect everything else about masculinity.
Mm-hmm. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. We're talking about feminism this hour with Roxane Gay. She's the author of a collection of essays titled Bad Feminist. And We're discussing the topic of feminism from a number of different perspectives this morning. Why is it important to talk about imperfect or bad feminism?
Because I think it allows more people into the conversation. It allows people to talk about feminism, even if they disagree with certain aspects of mainstream feminism. I think it's really about inclusion. And just having feminist conversations, I think it's really important to have feminist conversations and conversations about feminism that are not adversarial, that are really sort of, let's just talk about this and see if we can get to a better place.
When we use it as a label, though, it can sometimes perhaps be a little less constructive. People just kind of dismiss someone. Oh, you're just a feminist, or you're just a conservative, or you're just a liberal, or you're just a fill in the blank. It becomes a way to pigeonhole people and cut off debate, doesn't it sometimes?
Yeah, absolutely. It just shuts people down. And I think that's why so many women don't want to embrace the label of feminist. But I think it's not the problem. The problem isn't us embracing our feminism. The problem is truly these people who are thinking that they're saying something, that they're trying to shut down the conversation. You're a feminist. Oh, I can't hear what you have to say. That's their problem. And I think they need to work on that.
Mm-hmm. Can you give some examples of what you consider your own bad feminism?
You know, like that cars are man work. I think that if you're a woman and you choose to stay at home, that's entirely your choice, and I support it. If you choose to take your husband's name, I think that's a perfectly valid choice. I'm just not here to judge any of that. And I think men should take out the trash and mow the lawn and do all kinds of sort of like man work. and so, you know, these things are totally fine with me. And they shouldn't be against feminism at all, and that's why it started tongue-in-cheek. But feminism has been so sort of maligned over the years that it has become this sense that we have to, you know, say these things out loud.
Mm-hmm. 800-642-1234 is the number to call to join our program. Let's take another call. This time it'll be Kimberly in Madison. Kimberly, hello.
How you doing?
Great. Go ahead.
Well, great. Thank you. Anyways, I had mentioned that I grew up in the 70s, the Burn the Bra era, you know, Helen Reddy and Nancy Sinatra, these boots are made for walking, came from a long line of very, you know, successful, independent, single women. And that's where I came from. And I never even thought of boundaries for me as growing up or when I went to Purdue. But my mom had said, go to Purdue because there's three guys to every one girl. You should be able to find a husband there. So there was a lot of, you know, different things coming at me. I ended up in a male-dominated field in firefighting. And there, I think, you know, the sexuality and, you know, in being feminine and that today's culture of sexuality can get in the way of professionalism. I thought that there, you know, there was some downing just because I was a woman in this male dominated field. But then I realized that, I really think that in my career, that people that work hard and have the energy to push forward and be professional will make it to the top. I think there are less women that are able to push forward in their careers just because it's a very important role of being a woman, in my opinion, is being a mom and being a wife if you have that opportunity to be a wife and taking care of the emotional side of the family. And sometimes when I hear feminism, I feel like I meet male haters, and I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, and almost creating this division between man and women, and not a camaraderie or not a team, but more of a hatred kind of movement instead of a loving movement, and I almost feel like feminism puts down the woman who wants to stay home and take care of her family and not have the emotional, you know, charge for the professional area. So when I feel like when the word feminist comes in to my world, I just almost feel like that's a hate movement instead of a love movement, and really trying to, it almost puts down the woman that wants to, you know, serve her family and serve her husband and be a supportive role instead of the one that wants to get ahead.
Okay, we get it. Kimberly, thank you for the call. Roxanne Gay?
That's a profound misunderstanding of what feminism actually is. You can be a nurturer and be a feminist. I was raised by the most nurturing person I know in her own way, my mother, and she's a stay-at-home mom, and she wouldn't claim the term feminist, but she's the strongest and fiercest feminist I know. It's really about actions and not words, and it's not man-hating. It has nothing to do with man-hating. And I Am Woman, Hear Me Roar, yes, absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that. Women should be able to roar, and it doesn't mean that, you know, we're putting men down. And I would also just like to say, historically, bras were actually never burned. That just simply did not happen. It's a myth that has been propagated for nearly 40 years, but it didn't actually happen.
Mm-hmm. I guess one of the questions that I've always had, and it doesn't just pertain to feminism, but almost anything that you can put ISM at the end of, I'm always wondering who gets to decide what it is and what it isn't. I mean, is there some board someplace that says, well, these are the rules and here's what we're going to do? How do we decide, and don't things like this tend to evolve over time? And so what we might have thought of as a definition for feminism in, say, 1958 wouldn't necessarily be even relevant in 2014?
Well, there actually is a feminist board of approval. I'm kidding. There is no sort of grand jury that makes decisions about these isms and what it is and what it isn't. Feminism is evolving and continues to evolve. I do think that there's a foundation of feminist doctrine that will hold true in 1958 and 2058. But what it means to be a feminist and how you define feminism on a personal level is absolutely something that's going to continue to evolve. Because the concerns that we're dealing with now, for the most part, are different than the concerns we were dealing with in the 1800s and the early 1900s, and even 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And would you say would it be fair to describe feminism as a philosophy or an ideology?
A philosophy, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because that actually makes a difference in terms of the way people behave, whether something is ideological or if it's philosophical, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think when you have ideology, people can go to extremes. Mm-hmm. It's more than that. I mean, for some people, it might be ideological, and that's totally fine. But for me, it's a philosophy. It's just a way I understand the world and a way I see the world and how I want the world to see me.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we have a full phone lines, which we've had pretty much all hour. We want to get to as many of those as possible. And the other thing I'd like to talk about when we come back is there are a lot of conversations about feminism that involve pop culture, music lyrics, film portrayals of women, and so on, and how we feel about those. And then there have been some recent stories in the news, Stephen A. Smith's comments on ESPN recently and some other stuff, the Girl Scout Barbie, a lot of things to talk about here before we conclude the hour. And, of course, more of your phone calls, emails, and Facebook posts. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. What does it mean to be a feminist these days? Do you consider yourself a feminist? Well, we're talking about that this hour with Roxanne Gay, who is the author of a collection of essays titled Bad Feminist. The essays don't all pertain specifically to feminism, but that's a general theme, and that's kind of where our jumping-off point is here today. Roxanne Gay is the author of many works of fiction and nonfiction, and she teaches writing at Purdue University. So there are a lot of conversations about feminism that involve pop culture, things like music lyrics or the way women are portrayed in film. Is there some correct way to for women or men to feel about these things?
Not necessarily. I think what we have to do is just be more literate about the culture that we consume. And one of my biggest struggles as a feminist actually has to do with pop culture. It's just so hard to make sense of how I can enjoy certain things and see how problematic they are for women. You know, like, we listen to certain song lyrics and it's like, oh man, that's not right. But the beat is so catchy. And so a lot of my bad feminism really arises out of popular culture, which I love. I love TV. I love The Bachelor. I love music. And at the same time, I really hate some of the messages that we're getting. And so I think it's important to recognize those messages and recognize how these shows and songs and movies could be better toward women and men for that matter. And still allow ourselves to just be human and to sit back and relax. Like, you know, on Monday I watched The Bachelorette finale, and I'm sorry, but that was just an amazing 3 hours of television. I just laughed all night. It was so good.
Do you think laughter was the intended reaction they were going for?
No, I don't.
Okay. Probably not.
Not really. It was a mess. I mean, it was just heartbreak and drama, and I was there for all of it. I wanted a front row seat.
Yeah. And we're kind of past it now, but a few years ago we had the Twilight phenomenon. What did you think of that?
Yeah. Oh, man, I think Twilight's a mess. I think that Edward is really controlling and creepy, and I don't understand sort of what
he's doing. Vampire, for heaven's sakes. He's supposed to be controlling and creepy.
Absolutely. But, like, that's Bella's true love? I disagree. I think that he's always making decisions for Bella, and she never gets to make a decision of her own. And then there's that amazing scene where she basically dies for her child, which I get, but, I mean, there's so much going on there. I loved the movie series because I could just tear it apart and just also enjoy it. So much going on there.
So that would be an example of what we would call approach avoidance conflict then.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I spent too many years teaching interpersonal communication in a prior life. Let's go to Frankfort, Michigan next and hear from Camille. Camille, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, John and Roxanne. What I would like to say is that in the 60s and afterward, the roles for men really got confused, sincerely, you know, confused and started to change. And like some of the other callers who've spoken have said, I think it's really important to have a compassionate attitude toward men in the name of feminism, in the sense that there are certain issues that I think women only need to deal with, like, for example, how they take care of their bodies and what they do for their health and controlling their bodies. But there are many, many issues that where an attitude, a compassionate, open attitude toward men is very important, that they be included in a sense, because there is, like, for example, there is a phrase, no women will be free until all women are free. I sincerely feel that no women will be free until the men are, or I'm sorry, the men will not be free until the women are free as well. I think it's a whole cultural evolution that needs to take place. And I'm not saying that I'm hearing disagreement with that. I'm just emphasizing that I think that that feminism won't evolve further until that is clear.
Camille, thanks for the call. Roxanne Gay?
I think compassion for all humankind is important, and empathy There's this great book that came out recently by Leslie Jameson called The Empathy Exams, and I strongly encourage everyone to read it because it really talks about how we can become more empathetic to the needs of others. But the thing about feminism is that we're positioning women as equal to men. Like, and so it's not that we have to, you know, like go out of our way and worry about those poor men. The men are absolutely going to be fine. They are going to be fine. And saying, let's work on making sure that women are fine too, is not saying, let's ignore the men folk. Men are great. I adore them. But feminism is not about positioning the men at all. It's not about them. Sometimes it's not about them.
Wow, it's not about us? Holy cow, I don't know if I can deal with that.
I know. It's so hard to understand. But
on the other hand, it might be a relief. Whoa, it's not about me. Great, I can move on. So I'm able to hold two opposing opinions at the same time. The news these days, there's always something in the headlines that's not foreign affairs related. We have Stephen A. Smith's comments on ESPN. He was talking about the Ray Rice situation. Ray Rice, a football player in the National Football League, a running back for the Baltimore Ravens, who was suspended for two games over allegations that he beat his fiancée, who is now his wife, in a casino elevator. And there's video all over the place of what happened. Smith suggested, and here's where he sparked some controversy, and that's understatement. He suggested that women should avoid provoking men into assaulting them. I have to admit that when I saw that, I said, really? Somebody still mm-hmm. says that in 2014? That's crazy. But, you know, maybe I'm nuts.
No, when he said that, I was so flabbergasted. Because basically he was just saying, like, that we have to keep men from being animals. And I frankly found that what he said was as insulting to men as it was to women, was that men can't control themselves. An NFL player can't control himself. I understand that things get heated in a relationship, and I'm not here to judge any of that. We don't know what happened in that elevator, but I do know that nothing provoked him to the point where he had to drag her out of the elevator unconscious, period. Mm-hmm. If mm-hmm. he was defending himself, he could have restrained her in some way. He's an NFL player, and you mean to tell me that he can't handle this situation? He's a lethal weapon. Come on. And Stephen A. Smith was really just contributing to this culture that puts the responsibility of a woman's safety in a woman's hands. And I refuse to have any part of that. Men should not allow themselves to be provoked to the point where violence is the only answer, period. And I don't know what he was thinking, and that he only got a week's suspension for making those comments is almost as frustrating as the fact that Ray Rice only got a 2-game suspension for what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe there's a difference here also between how something like that is treated and if someone makes a racial comment. And I'd go back to a number of sports reporters have lost their jobs over some stuff like this. There was actually, mm-hmm. I take that back, there was one golf commentator who lost his job over a remark that was considered sexist. But mm-hmm. certainly there's been a lot more, if you look at what happened, and I'm dating myself here, but going back to Jimmy the Greek and Tom Brookshire, mm-hmm. Who made racially charged remarks, and they were fired immediately. I mean, there wasn't any question about it. You're just done. But here Stephen A. Smith makes a remark like that. He gets a week off. There seems to be a multiple standard here.
Absolutely. I think that on the one hand, it's really good that we've gotten to a place where racial intolerance is not going to be tolerated in the public sphere, and that you can't say these things and get away with it. On the other hand, I think that it means that women, the status of women is considered even sort of less important than that of people of color. And this is what intersectional feminism is about. It's about recognizing that we have to look not only at gender, but also at race and sexuality and class and all of these different identities that we carry at once. And I really just hope that we get to a place where there are more consequences. I don't think that Stephen A. Smith should lose his job necessarily because, I mean, he's, whatever, that's his job. His job is to be provocative. But I do think that it would be great to see a better conversation about his comments, and it would be great for him to be able to recognize where he went wrong, because I don't think he really understands what he said that was wrong. I mean, this is so much bigger than Stephen Smith. He just happened to say what I think, unfortunately, a lot of people think.
Well, and then you have the owner of the L.A. Clippers, now ex-owner, getting basically excommunicated from the NBA for a racist comment. You have to wonder if the comment had been about women, if the same thing would have happened.
Oh, I don't think the same thing would have happened at all. I mean, look at the NFL, which I think I read yesterday on, I think, ESPN.com that 28 of the more than three-quarters of the NFL teams have one or more players who have committed a crime against a woman. And no one is calling for any sort of change in the NFL because it's the one sports league where every team is profitable.
Let's take a quick call. We're running out of time, but I wanted to get this call in before the top of the hour. Eric is with us from Endeavor. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, hey, good morning, John. And I really appreciate your guest's comments about how people should just relax and live their life. And this seems so extreme in this day and age. Worry about feminism. But lately, I've realized that I'm a feminist. My sisters and wife explained to me that I'm a feminist, although I thought that was a bad word growing up. But I think the definition has changed. I'm 43 years old. I adore my wife. I don't order her around. I own a construction company. You know, I'm a man, but I apparently I'm a feminist, and I have no problem with that.
Eric, thanks for the call. We need to run. But Roxanne, I just wanted to get your reaction to what Eric had to say.
I think that's awesome. I love when men claim their feminism. I think that's awesome. I love hearing that, and I love seeing that. And yes, he's a feminist, and we want more men to stand up and say, I'm a feminist, too. And my dad is actually in construction and a feminist as well. So you can be a manly man and still recognize the importance and equality of women. So, you know, rock on, Eric.
Eric, thanks so much for the call. We've got about a minute left. What do you hope other women who consider themselves bad feminists can take away from your experiences?
I think that they can just sort of learn to see the world as a more nuanced and complex place, and that our place in this world is always changing, and that it's okay to be a bad feminist. It's okay to embrace bad feminism.
Okay. And how can men and women both connect to feminism if we don't identify with the label?
I think they can connect to the idea that women and men are equal. Period. Like that we're equal and we deserve equal opportunities and we deserve to walk the streets safely and we deserve to advance at our careers because we're awesome, not because we're this or that or anything else. And so I think call yourself whatever you want to call, but believe in the fundamental importance of equality.
Okay. Well, you know what? That seems like a really great place to leave it. Roxanne Gay, thank you so much for spending this time with us, especially on a day when you're moving.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, and thank you to all the callers for the discussion.
The title of this collection of essays is Bad Feminist, published by Perennial Press, and the author, Roxanne Gay, is the author of many works of fiction and nonfiction. She teaches writing at Purdue University. Thanks so much to Christy Taylor, who produced this program, and Robin Cherry, who handled on-air production. Christy, of course, also directed this hour's broadcast. If you want to listen to it again, it's available at WPR.org, WPR.org. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to this program on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.